All right, let's take our Bibles this evening and go to the Gospel of John, chapter 17. John's Gospel, chapter 17. All right, I want to begin reading, please. We're in John 17, and I want to begin reading in verse 11. And I'm jumping into the middle of this prayer. This was the Lord Jesus praying for his apostles, for his disciples, for those who were following him. And then also he prayed for us in this chapter. I don't know if you knew that, but you probably did. But he prayed in this chapter for us. And let's begin reading, though, in verse 11. And we'll pick up the prayer in verse 11. And we'll read down to verse 17. Verse 17 being my text verse. I'm going to entitle my message tonight, The Work of God's Word. The Work of God's Word. All right, let's begin, please, in verse 11. It says, "And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled." Now, that is a reference to Judas. Verse 13, "And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves." Now, watch this carefully. "I have given them," what's the next word? "Thy word." I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil one, if you will. Keep them from the devil getting a hold of them. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Now go back to verse 14 again. I have given them what? Thy word. Now look at verse 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. What is truth? Thy word is truth. All right? Thy word is truth. All right, let's pray. And then the message on the work of God's word. Let's pray together. Our Father, thank you now for the music we have heard this evening and the testimonies we have heard this evening. And I pray now that you will bless as we open the eternal word of God, your word, Father. And I pray that you will bless in a great way what we're about to hear. I pray that you will fill me with your spirit and help me as I speak. And Father, I pray that you will give each and every one of us the ears to hear what the Spirit saith to the church. So bless your word, Father, we ask. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. All right, I want to make one little point here, one little thing before I actually get to the message. There are 1,189 chapters in the Bible. 1,189. All right? Now let that sink in. All right, there are 929 in the Old Testament, and there are 260 in the New Testament. And that is a total of 1,189 chapters. Now, do you know what the middle verse of the Bible is? Do you know what that is? All right, hold your place here, but I want you to go back to Psalm 118. All right, go all the way back through your Bible to the Old Testament, to the book of Psalms, and look, please, at Psalm 118. Now, here's something I want you to look at. Notice Psalm 117. Two verses. That is the shortest chapter in the Bible. You with me on that? All right, then flip the page and look at 119. That's the longest chapter in the Bible. And then, if you will, look at Psalm 118 and verse 9. That's the middle verse of the Bible. There are 594 chapters after Psalm 118, and there are 594 chapters before Psalm 119, or 118. All right? Now, isn't it kind of interesting that the middle verse of the Bible is Psalm 118, verse 9. How many chapters are in the Bible? 1,189. Folks, you can't tell me God didn't put this book divinely together. Now, it has to be of God. There is nobody who would have sat around and thought about that and did that on purpose. No, God did it. Amen. Why? Because it's His word. Amen. And isn't it ironic? Look at verse 9. Look at 118, verse 9. 1,189. All right. Look at it, verse 9. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes, in men, in government. That's awesome, isn't it? That's our Bible, folks. That's our Bible. Jesus said here in chapter 17, Jesus said that sanctify them, John 17:17, He said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The Lord Jesus, in chapter 17, prays for His disciples, and He prays for us. 2,000 years ago, when He was here on this earth, the Lord Jesus prayed for you. Look at verse 20 for just a moment. Verse 20 says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. So the disciples were going to go and preach the gospel, and they were going to see people saved, and then those people, God was going to call some of them to go and preach the gospel, and et cetera, right down to each and every one of us sitting here tonight. But it's all through the word. And the neat thing is, the Lord Jesus prayed for us right here in verse 20. He prayed for you and he prayed for me. Now, that emphasis is upon the work of God's word. When the Lord Jesus prayed that prayer, he was praying for the work of God's word to be flourishing, to be running rampant, to just be going great guns, praying that the word of God would be in us. Now, Jesus gave the disciples, the apostles, the words of God, and then prayed that the Father would not take them out of this world, but would instead sanctify them through the very word which Jesus gave them. And notice the Lord Jesus prayed and asked God the Father to sanctify them and us through the word of God. Now, we learned last week that the word sanctify means to be set apart. You're set apart, called out of the world, and used, set apart from the world, so you can be used of God. All right? A church is a called out assembly. What's it called out of? The world. The church is called out of the world. That's what the word ecclesia, which is the word translated church, that's what it means, a called out assembly. And so the members of the church have been called out. The church has been called out. And God uses the believer in the church to go and preach and witness and win souls and get a community on its way to heaven. That's how it works. And that word sanctified, it means to be set apart. And involved in this context, being set apart for a specific task. And that specific task was the matter of preaching the gospel. So Jesus prayed to the Father that he would set these people apart, these disciples, and then protect them from the devil. Man, it's good to know he prayed for us to be protected, isn't it? You see, if the devil was able to knock one of these apostles down, well, it would have been a terrible thing. You see, God used them to write the word. So it would have been just tragic if, along the way, after the Lord Jesus ascended back to heaven, why would it just been devastating if even one of these disciples was knocked down by the devil? All right, now, you say, Jesus said that one of them got knocked down. He never was He never was not knocked down. Judas never was a believer. Now, the Lord Jesus had 12 apostles, and one was bad. All right? So I don't know that we could ask for a whole lot more than that. Do you? I don't want to lose anybody. I certainly don't want to lose anybody. But the devil, he wants everybody to get lost in the shuffle. He wants to trip everyone up. And so Jesus said in verse 12 that while he was here on the earth with them in the ministry, in his earthly ministry, he kept them. He kept them. And the only one that was lost was Judas. And the reason was because Judas was already lost. He was already unsaved. And Judas was to fulfill prophecy about the Lord Jesus, the Savior, being betrayed. Specifically, in Psalm 109, verses 1 through 8. That's the prophecy that talks about what Judas did. And that prophecy had to be fulfilled. And so Judas was the fulfillment of that prophecy. All right? Everybody got all the details now? Okay. Let's look now at verse 17. And I want you to notice that this verse speaks of the work and the character of the Word of God. There are just two things that I want you to see tonight. Two things about the work of God's Word. Number one, notice the preparation through the Word. The preparation through the Word. You see, as the Lord Jesus is praying, he asks his Father to do a work in us, a spiritual work. He asks the Father to prepare us through the Word of God so that we are able to face a hostile world. All right, the Lord has prayed for you, and he has asked the Father to prepare you to face a hostile world. And Jesus prayed that we would be sanctified through God's truth, set apart and cleansed through God's truth, God's Word. Now, again, notice the word sanctify. It means to be set apart. Something is set apart for a specific task. And it is this context that means that we are, shows us that we are to be set apart in service for the Lord. I'm to be set apart. But wait a minute, so are you. There are not two sets of standards, one for you and one for me as the pastor. We all have the same standards. And so so we're to be sanctified. We're to be set apart. And this setting apart involves the preparation of a person for service. And that's what Jesus was praying for the Father to do. He was praying that the Lord, and God the Father, would prepare your heart and my heart so that we could be of service to him. But notice, folks, this is what we can't miss. This sanctifying is done through the Word of God. You know, I've said this before, but I still believe it. I just am not sure if all that many Christians really understand how important the Word of God is to your Christian life and my Christian life. I've said it for years, long before I ever came here to be the pastor, that I am convinced that God's people today do not read their Bibles the way they should. There's too much evidence that we don't. There's just too much evidence. I mean, if we read the Bible, we would not be going around all the time griping and fussing and full of jealousy and envy and spite and all the rest that goes on in our churches. If we read the Bible like we should, we wouldn't be offended at every little thing that somebody says to us or something that is done. We just wouldn't be. Several years ago, just about a week before Father's Day, I announced that on Father's Day, we were going to be giving away Snickers bars to every dad. And I jokingly said, everybody knows that Snickers bars are going to be growing on the tree of life when we get to heaven. I mean, it was a joke. Well, before I got home, I got this searing email from someone telling me how offended she was that I would say something like that. And yeah, she wanted a Hershey bar, I guess. And she said that her and her family would never be back to Open Door again. And she kept her word. Now, can you imagine that, folks? You leave a solid, soul-winning, mission-minded, missions-supporting, caring, Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, Bible-teaching church over a Snickers bar. But let me tell you, people have left for far less than that. I can promise you that. I get asked all the time, Pastor, these folks that leave, where do they go? Where do they go? Well, they go here and they go there, and then they're not happy there either. And then they go somewhere else and they're not happy there. I'm too dogmatic. Well, that's probably true. I give too many facts. I don't know. That one, I always tripped over that one. I'm too serious. And then somebody else will say, oh, he jokes around too much. One will say, he's too loud. I ain't going to argue with that. I will not argue with that one. One told me I'm too authoritarian. I said, well, what? You're too authoritarian. I said, what in the world does that mean? I said, well, you just tell it like it is, and if we don't like it, tough rocks. I thought that was my job. You know? One fellow said he wasn't getting fed. I said, are you kidding me? Nope. I said, are you here? Oh, yeah, we're here. Oh, yeah. I'm here, but I'm not getting anything. I'm not getting fed. Whew. One fellow said, there's too much teaching. Another fellow said, there's not enough teaching. You know, I've come to the conclusion that if you're the pastor, you can't win. I mean, you just can't win in this world. We're going to win in the next world, yeah. And so they'll leave and they'll go somewhere where some of their friends are going now. And then you hear, after a little while, they've grown discontented with that preacher as well. And that church. And then they'll leave there. And in a matter of a couple of years, you run into them at Walmart, at Weiss, at Target. Where are you going to church? Well, and they're not going anywhere. So what I'm saying, folks, is this. If we want to be set apart for service, we have got to get our noses in the book. We've got to get in the book. Why? Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. That's the only way you and I are going to be set apart by God so that we can serve him. It's that simple. We must get in the word if we want to be set apart for service. I think the reason God called me to preach just 6 months after I was saved was because when I got saved, Pastor Jim, I told you all, he had a red Bible. And all Bibles ought to be red, don't you think? R-E-A-D, red. His was red, R-E-D, but it was also red, R-E-A-D. And in front of the whole church, when I got saved, he shook that thing at me, and he said, you get in this book, and you learn what it says, and God will use you. And I thought, okay. He said, read it every day. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So I did. I mean, I just started that afternoon. I dove into the Bible with everything I had. I read it from cover to cover. Over and over and over. Just read the Bible. 6 months later, the Lord called me to preach. I think the failure of a lot of Christians today is found right here. We are simply not devoted to the Word of God as believers. We have very little dedication to the matter of serving the Lord because we have very little dedication to reading and studying the Word of God. I get all these Christian magazines and all these periodicals that come to the church, and one of the major topics being written about today is how so few young people are being called into the ministry today. Missionaries are coming off the field, and there's no one to replace them. Nobody. Churches are having a terrible time finding pastors when their pastor retires or moves on somewhere else. And they go looking for a preacher, and they can't find one. Specialty pastors, like a visitation pastor, like a bus pastor, or a children's ministry pastor, or a youth pastor. They're almost impossible to find today. Almost impossible. Young men surrendering to preach the gospel is so rare in our world. But hey, if you ignore the scriptures, you will be ignored of God in the area of service. God is not going to use you unless you've got your nose in the book. People don't realize, evidently. They just don't realize it. I've had people get mad and leave and then write me an email or write me a letter and tell me that the reason they left was because I did not ask them to serve on the deacon board. Yeah. But you don't know how that works, do you? You see, I don't scan the crowd. I never do that. I never scan the crowd and say, oh, so-and-so should be on the deacon board. I don't do that. You say, what do? I do the same thing that I told you folks to do when you got in contact with me about coming here to be the pastor. And what did I do? I was sent an application. And I said, y'all know what I am. Y'all know where I am. Instead of me filling out an application, you guys get together and pray. And find out, and that's what these men did. That's what these guys did. They would have someone in to candidate, and then they would meet the next morning over here in Larry Haynes's office, and they would get on their knees and pray. And when they prayed for this one fella, Lord said, no. He's a good guy, but no. And he's doing a great job now in another church. And they prayed about this one, and boy, it's a good thing the Lord said no on that. Because, trust me, it's a good thing the Lord said no on that one. And then they prayed about me, and the Lord said, he's the one. He's the one. And it's really interesting. Four people who are no longer here voted against me. Everybody else voted for me. Four. By the way, those four gave me nothing but grief until they either died or moved away. Amen. It's true. I can't help it. It's true. You see, you gotta get in the book. Amen. We let our wants and our wishes get in the way. No, take it to the Lord, leave it there, and get in the book and let God do it for you. Amen. When Pastor Stainer died, everybody said, wow, what are you going to do? And I said, what do you mean, what am I going to do? Are you going to replace Pastor Larry? I said, well, I hope so. What do you mean you hope so? Well, we'll see what the Lord wants. And that's what I did. I waited on the Lord. I didn't call anybody. I didn't talk to anybody. And one Saturday morning, I'm sitting in my chair at home, and I was desirous to watch the Manchester United soccer game, 7:30 in the morning. And I got impressed by the Lord. I never heard voices, all right? There was no handwriting on the wall. But I'm sitting there, and I got impressed to call Pastor Ray. And I said, "Hey, what are you doing?" He said, "We're out on the back porch watching it snow." North Carolina people don't see snow very often. And I said, "Wee fun. Isn't that exciting? You're watching it snow. Come on up here. You know, come on up here if you want to see some snow." And so, anyway, I said, "What do you think? You think you might be interested in that?" "Well, I sure will pray about it." I said, "All right, that's what I've been doing." And so that's what we did. We prayed about it. And that's how the Lord does things, folks. That's how he does things. When I graduated from college and we took our first church, I made a decision based on the facts as I saw them. I knew I was not going to be the next Billy Sunday. I knew that I wasn't the wisest or the smartest or the most gifted or the most talented. So I determined there's one thing I can do. There's one thing I can do. And I decided that I would study this book and read this book and learn it from the beginning to the end. I'm still doing that. But that's what I made up my mind to do. You see, you can never exhaust the Bible. But I made up my mind that I was going to make the Bible the most important part of my life and the center of my ministry. I'm saying, folks, we must get in the Bible if we're going to be set apart for service. All right? Second thing, I want you to notice the purity of the Word. All right? I had you look, first of all, at the preparation through the Word, and it's the Lord that prepares us, but he does it through the Word. Secondly, I want you to notice the purity in the Word. The Lord Jesus tells us, "Thy word is" what? Truth. It's truth. Now, there are three things I want to say real quickly about this important characteristic of the Word of God. It's pure, folks. Amen. The Word of God is pure. First, we see the attestation of the Word. Say, "Pastor, what do you mean by that?" I'm saying that the Lord Jesus himself attests to the great character of the Word of God. Folks, he calls it God's truth. Amen. Wow. He calls it God's truth. The Word, thy word is truth. Now, go back a few chapters to chapter 8 for just a moment. Go back to chapter 8 and look, please, at verse 31. All right, chapter 8, and look at verse 31. "Then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him," watch this now, same thing, "if ye" what? "Continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth. How are you going to know the truth? When you continue in God's word. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, have you ever wondered what the truth will make you free from? It'll make you free so that you can serve God. You see, there are so many people that they're not in the book, and they have no defenses, and they don't come to church with any regularity. When they do come, it's to catch up on much needed sleep, evidently. You know? And so they walk out. Those are the ones that say, I'm not getting fed. Well, wake up. I mean, I'm feeding you right now. And the truth will set you free. Free to do what? Live for God. Serve Him. Become productive. That's what the truth does. And the Lord Jesus said that the truth of God's word enables us to be free to live for and serve the Lord. Let me tell you something, folks. There is no better witness than the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. He's the one that said this. So it must be true. If anyone knows what the Word of God can do, certainly it's the author. Don't forget, He is the Word of God, John 1:1-3. Oh, the world mocks the Scriptures, and they say stuff like, oh, the Bible is just full of myths and Jewish fables. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, those critics are myth taken. They laugh at the word and criticize it and try to challenge it to fit their agenda. And the whole time they're weakening God's truth. And it is no wonder they do, because Satan himself knows John 8:32 is in the Bible. And he believes that what Jesus said is dead on, factually true. So naturally, Satan doesn't want Christians reading and learning the Word of God. Jesus tells us, he attests to the fact that the Word of God is truth. Secondly, we see the affirmation of the Word. You say, what do you mean by that, Pastor? Well, you know, there are a lot of things which affirm the fidelity of God's Word. Archaeology is continually affirming the Scripture. They're over there digging all over Israel. I mean, they got holes everywhere. And what does all that digging produce? Evidence of everything that's in this Old Testament. Everything. So the critics, well, there's no evidence of the Hittites. Yeah, there is plenty. You just weren't digging down far enough yet. Oh, how do we know David was the king in Israel? Archaeology proves that David was a king. Proves it. I mean, man, they're all over Israel. The ruins of the ancient city of Jericho prove that what the Bible says is what happened. I mean, when they went and dug at Jericho, they found the ancient city and the walls had fallen in, just like the Bible says they did, and there was an ash line in the ruins where they burned the city. I mean, what more evidence do you need? Man, let me tell you another one. Prophecy is continually affirming the purity of the Word of God. Every prophetic statement that the Scriptures make has been fulfilled to the letter, and with each one fulfilled, it affirms the truth of the Word of God. Let me give you another one. Changed lives affirms the authority of the Word of God. No book has changed as many lives for the good as has the Scripture. If you want to know if the Word of God is true, you just take a look at the person sitting across from you. Hey, if you want to know that the Word of God is true, just look at the one who is preaching to you tonight. This book changes lives. Amen. Changed lives affirms the purity of the Scriptures. And then thirdly, we see the authority of the Word of God. Listen, church, if the Word of God is true, then it is authoritative. Amen. And you know, now to think of it, that's probably what that fellow meant when he said that I'm too authoritative. Oh, because I tell you what the Bible says? Then I guess I am. In our church constitution and bylaws, we state that we believe the Bible is the final authority in all matters of faith and practice. We believe the Bible is the authority, not man. You should never have a business meeting to discuss what God says has already been affirmed. You should never have a business meeting to discuss changing the versions of the Bible that your church is going to use. Never. And this is the problem, folks, for a great many churches and Christians today, because they do not want to submit to the authority of the Word of God. They just don't. And as you heard this morning, I preach authoritatively against drinking liqueur. I preach authoritatively against it. And we've lost folks because of that. We really have. We've lost a lot of folks because of that. You say, well, don't they read the Bible? You tell me. Because if you read the Bible, you would see that God's against that. Just like I'm against it. But they want to live their own lives their way, and they don't want to bow to the authority of the Scriptures. In every church I've ever pastored, I've had many a church member get sideways with me over the authority of the Bible. And this is what they will say. They'll say, well, and what amazes me is they are all so dogmatic, so authoritarian. as they're trying to straighten me out and give me the final word on the subject. And they'll say to me, well, you know there's errors in the Bible. And I'll say, oh, really? Man, I did not know that. And here's what I always do when some scholarly, very pious, well-meaning church member says that to me. I will say, well, I did not know that. Here, show me what you're talking about. Show me one. I've never had anybody take me up on that. That's just me being dogmatic again. Christian, if we oppose the Word of God, we are putting ourselves in every possible place of disadvantage for being set apart and used of the Lord to do something wonderful for Him. Amen. The greatest thing a Christian can do is sit down every day and read and learn and know the truth of God's Word. If we do that, everything else will fall into place. You'll be here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You'll be telling others about the Lord Jesus and how they can get saved. You'll be tithing. Faithfully tithing. Thank God for the sanctifying work of the truth of God's Word. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you will help us tonight to see the importance of being in the Word of God. Help us, Father, to love your Word. I pray that we will make a decision tonight that we're going to set aside time every day just to read the Bible, to learn and to grow. And Father, I ask you to speak to our hearts tonight in a great way. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I wonder how many of us would say, Pastor, I want God to use me. I want God to set me apart. But I understand I got to do it through His Word. And I'm going to get in the Word, Pastor. I'm going to get in the book. Now, if that's your heart tonight, won't you just take a moment and say, Lord, this is what I'm going to do. And just make up your mind you're going to do it. Surely we can find 15 minutes, 30 minutes, surely, where we can read the Word of God. So, Father, I pray that you will open our understanding and give us a heart that wants to be set apart and used in a great way. In Jesus' name we ask it, amen.